I says, well, give me a few minutes. And in those few minutes, took me back 48 years ago. 48 years ago, August 30th, I stood up with my wonderful bride, Sandra, up at Fawcett Hall, and we had agreed upon this ahead of time. We made a declaration to those people in that midst, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That has been the driving force in my life, even before I got married, to serve the Lord. So when Ken says, John, can you speak? Well, guess what? God has gifted me with a voice that you can hear. But he also has given me a heart of the evangelist. This past few weeks, we've been packing up our own home, and I've been finding some different letters that Sandra and I exchanged. And even then, what really kept me going was working with young people in camp and seeing young people and campers come to know the Lord. My desire this morning, as I share from John chapter 17, is if you're here and you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not go out those doors until you make it right with God this morning. So that is my heart's desire. But now I'm going to take you to what Jesus' heart's desire was when he prayed this prayer in John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, it's referred to as the high priestly prayer. John chapter 17, verse 1, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those with whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I give them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy with them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, and that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that I have been sent. You have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Father God, we thank you for this prayer that your Son opened up his heart to you. And Lord, we pray that we had learned something of the heart of Jesus this morning. As we look at these words, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This prayer is the greatest prayer on earth. It is the greatest prayer recorded in scriptures. We get to listen in to God the Son converse with God the Father. We find out what's on Jesus' heart. Guess what? When we pray, we're opening our hearts up. And if we pray publicly, people get to look inside our hearts to see where our heart is. You know, I think that's sometimes why some people don't like to pray in public, because they don't want that exposure. But Jesus did this, and we get to see what was in the heart of Jesus. The first thing that we find that he wants, glorification. He wants to be glorified. He says in verse 1 there, glorify your Son so that I can glorify you. I don't understand all the ramifications of this glory, but in going through it, I found another scripture that kind of goes parallel to this, and it's in Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or to use to his advantage, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. How did Jesus glorify God? Well, he had his messages. He came proclaiming the kingdom of God. He did many miracles. He trained his disciples. He was praying this in the presence of 11. And most of all, he glorified God by going to the cross to die for the world. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, it quotes the Old Testament. It says, here I am, it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He did the will of the Father. Every step that he made through that land of Israel, he did it according to the will of God. There wasn't one person that wasn't healed because God was dealing with it. You read quite a few times in John that says, I only do what I see my Father doing. Question I have for you this morning: how are you glorifying the Lord? How do we glorify God? In Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not for yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Jesus himself came prepared to do the work that God had prepared for him. And we likewise have things that God has prepared for us to do for those that have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you entered into doing what God has prepared for you? Do you know what it is? You know, usually it's tied into your giftedness. Have you figured out what your spiritual gifts are? We've got a little package that we can give you to go through and you can figure out what your gifts are. I did it again. Once again, it points to John being kind of an evangelist. What about you? Do you know where your gifts are? Do you know what he wants you to do? Well, that was the first thing. He wanted to glorify God. He wants to be. But then Jesus says he was looking forward to being in glory with his Father. In the glory that we had together before the world began. Wow. He was anticipating going to be with his Father in all that glorious, beautiful relationship even before the world began. You know, John writes in the book of Revelation some very graphic pictures of the brilliance and radiance and intensity of the glory of God. One of the terms that they use for this glory is the Shekinah glory. It came down into the tabernacle in the Old Testament. Moses, when he was on the mountain, he came down the mountain and his face was going so radiantly, he had to put a veil on it because people were getting blinded. To a much lesser degree, we should be reflecting a little bit of that glory too. I have an example. I'd finished Bible school. I worked up in the Arctic, and for the summer I took missionary training with Northern County Evangelical Mission for 6 weeks. And I was stationed in La Ronge, Saskatchewan, and we were ministering to the indigenous people. I've had to rethink my thinking to be politically correct here. The first evening that we were there, I met an indigenous leader. His name was Oliver Beattie. He was old enough to be my dad. Now, my experience with indigenous people, my dad always had a big heart for them. We were on the way to Galician from Calgary, and quite often they would pull in with their old car with all the people in there. They need gas. And dad would give them gas, and would you believe? They would always come back and pay dad. But what I saw on the faces of these people, sadness, hardness, hopelessness. But when I saw Oliver Beattie, I still have a picture of him sitting at the kitchen table of the missionary that we were working with. And I looked at this man, and I couldn't help but thinking of the glory of God. It came out of his face. You could see it, the sparkle in his eye. Are we reflecting God's glory in our life? I hope I do sometimes. Sometimes we can be pretty grumpy. Sometimes we can be pretty scowly. But you know, are we letting what we're experiencing with the Lord come through? So those are the first two things that Jesus requests. That's in his heart. But then he changes. He starts talking about the believer's safety. In verse 11, he says, he's praying for us as believers to be protected by God's holy name. Holy Father, protect them so that we could be one with him. And then in verse 15, he says, and protect them from the evil one, Satan. Now, Jesus prayed for our protection, so I have no doubt that we do need to have a safety shield around us. We're vulnerable. Jesus Christ prayed for our safety. Have you ever experienced his safety? Have you ever experienced a hedge of protection around you? We cannot live our walk with the Lord without that shield. So expect it. Jesus Christ prayed for it, so we can expect that to happen in our lives. So there's the believer's safety. Now there's the believer's security. In verses 6 to 10, it's summed up in verse 10 when it says, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine. What he's saying is that for believers, they belong to me and they belong to you. And this reminds me of one of my favorite verses in John chapter 10, verse 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Two things here. My sheep listen to my voice. Are you listening to the Good Shepherd? Do you take the time to read his book? Are you listening to him? I got an example in my life. Back in the 80s, I had quite a few sheep and I needed to get some pasture, so I signed up some of my sheep for a sheep grazing lease down by Breton. So I hauled a whole load of sheep down there and they were there for the summer, and then I went back there in the fall to pick them up. Well, I got there real early. I mean, before anybody else was there. They had put the sheep in a bigger holding pen. They weren't out in the hills. So I calmly walked out there and I started talking. I wanted to see if any of my sheep were around. See if they recognized me. And I'm talking and I kept normal voice. Come on, you guys, you know me. P7. Now, those of you who are animal raisers, you know that ear tags designate the year and the number of animals. Well, P7 was that girl. She was one of my favorite ewes. She came out walking toward me. I never forgot it. And that's what we should do. When we hear Jesus talking to us, we hear him. He's being gentle. He's not kind of forcing on it. He's saying, John, come a little bit closer. Come closer. Have a relationship with me. And then he nails it. He says, my Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I want to tell you something. This verse here is very reassuring for any of us that have maybe loved ones, maybe kids. You know they know the Lord, but they're away, they're walking, and their way of life is so far away from what you expected. But we can rely upon this. They belong to the Father, and it says here, they will not let anything snatch them out of my Father's hands. Kind of reassuring. Sometimes in my prayers for people that I'm concerned about, I say, Lord, you've promised not to let anything snatch them out of your hand. Hang on to them tight. Do you have eternal life in Jesus Christ? You say, well, I believe in God. But do you believe in his Son? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stand condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. That's where your personal relationship with Jesus Christ starts. That's where we get connected to the Father. My question to you this morning, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If you don't, listen to the shepherd. Come unto me. Come to me. I want to save you. So, believer's safety, believer's security. Believer's sanctification. That's a real theological term. It can be consecration. It could be meaning set apart. Cleansing. He says, sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be sanctified. You know, this sanctification process is a continual thing. It happens when we're involved with Jesus Christ in service. When we're involved with those good things that God has prepared for us, our rough edges, oh boy. Well, I tell you, we all have some rough edges. I know I have. They need to be worn off, chiseled off, knocked off. And it's through the trials and testings and oppositions, as you are in service for Him, God's Word becomes more precious to you, and you're able to apply the church to those different challenges. Jesus is refining us so that when we go to eternity, we won't have a culture shock. Are you sitting in the boat? Or are you getting out on the lake and walking like Peter? Another way to put it, are you getting out of your comfort zone? Are you getting out of your comfort zone and doing things that the Lord wants you to do? So there's a sanctification process to be involved. And then there's verse 20 and 21. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. That's me. At this time of the prayer, there was 11 disciples. Several days, probably 50 days or 51 days later, how many people came to know the Lord? 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. And they became those ones that believed. And over, I can trace back several years of the people that were involved who came into my life so that I could come to know Jesus as a 5.5-year-old young boy. I made a decision to have Jesus Christ come into my life. And He has been there. Jesus had a concern for the believers of the world. And then He caps it all off in verse 24. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. He wants us with Him. He's up there. It reminds me of John chapter 14, verse 3. He says to His disciples, if I go, which He did, I'll prepare a place for you. And I will come back and take you to be with me that you may also be where I am. We have an anticipation that Jesus Christ is going to come back. It's called the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it could happen at any moment. And it's split second, we're going to be with our Savior. We're going to be changed. We're going to enter into the glory. We're going to enter into the peace and love. I tell you something, dear friends, that's something to look forward to. Are you looking forward to heaven? Or are you so earthly minded? And I'm really having to struggle with this. I'm moving from an acreage to a town and place in town here. And you see things that I've got, and you say, oh, I don't need that. I don't need that. What do I need? And my focus is shifting. I've got to focus. And I want to focus on seeing people come to know the Lord. Christ's heart's desire is in a capsule in this chapter. We could spend 7 weeks going through this chapter. I've given you the outline. He wanted to be glorified, and He wanted to glorify His Father. He wanted to be with His Father in glory, enjoying that place. He wanted the believer's safety. He was praying for the believer's security. He was praying for the believer's sanctification. He was praying for the new believers. and that he wants all believers in glory in heaven. Have you a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? I want you to think about it as we get the music team back up here. And I want to lead in prayer. Come on up. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you that your Son, Jesus, prayed this prayer. And his heart's desire is to be with you where he's at now. His heart's desire is for us as believers. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you, may by the power of the Holy Spirit, you prompt them to respond. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, is there somebody here who wants to say, yeah, John, I want to commit my life to the Lord? If you'll raise your hand, I'll acknowledge you, and I'd like to have a prayer with you afterwards. Anybody? Is God speaking to any of you this morning? I invite you to put your hand up and get right with God. Don't leave here without committing your life to the Lord. Is there anybody? Father God, we ask for your continued work in the lives of people here. Bless us as we close this service off in the song that the music people have for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Free from your burden of sin. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in blood, power in blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Have a great day.